You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Moving Your Family Forward by Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marcia Bailey.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just a little couple muscle aches here and there. Man, that's my story because I don't really want to tell y'all that Pastor Marcia beat me. So I'm going to tell the boating story.
Yeah, the boating story.
All right. We are all this month focusing on the family. And we've been talking about wisdom for the family. We've been talking about words. We've been talking about communication. We've been talking about the fact that Proverbs 14:1 says that every wise woman builds her house, but foolish pluck it down with her own hands. And the more and more we study scriptures, even though the Bible does refer to certain things in as gender specific, I think that applies to both. Mm-hmm. That a wise woman, is your mic on?
Yes, it's on.
Wise woman builds a house, but a fool can pluck it down with her own hand.
Yeah.
Well, a wise man also can build his house, but a foolish one can pluck it down with his own hand. So we need the wisdom of God in marriage. We need the wisdom of God in our families.
So we're talking about wise sayings, right? And unwise sayings in building our house. Can you think of a time that you have said something unwise that plucked
Me?
Down that plucked down your house a little bit?
Whew.
That's loaded, huh?
Have I ever said anything unwise?
Unwise.
Nothing's coming to me.
Nothing's coming to you.
How about you? You
Either.
Can't think of anything you ever said?
I can't think of anything.
You remember when you called me a jerk?
Oh, yeah. Well, you were kind of acting a little jerk-like.
You called me a jerk.
Yes. I think I said you were acting like a jerk.
What I heard was you called me a jerk.
That's all. Because he had a sensitivity to being called a jerk. So I kind of plucked that little thing out my... The bag, since you kind of...
We're probably talking like in the first
year?
Five.
No, yeah, it was early.
It was very early on in the marriage.
Very early in the marriage, you know. It's interesting. I guess that stuck with you.
It stuck with
me. So you kind of, you answered my question
for me. You were trying to pull a house down with your own hands.
You know, you answered my question for me, right? So, okay, yeah, since he answered that, you know. And, you know, and I, you know, we have to... dwell and live with individuals based upon the knowledge and the wisdom that we have. And certain things are loaded. And we know they are loaded. So I think I pulled that out of the loaded file and shot you with it. I wonder what you did to deserve to be shot.
So now we're talking retaliation. Speaking of which.
Yes.
Get my phone for me. Hopefully I brought it in, didn't leave it in the car. But... I came across something, I have to back out of this, that's why I wanted to get my phone. But I heard someone say, when our spouses do something, that we have several alternatives to how we're going to
respond
when our spouses do something.
That you don't like.
Oh, we really think about
anybody.
Anybody, right? But we're talking in the marriage and within home. The first one is that you can... honestly talk about it. Honestly address it. You know, in the case of, let's use that. You know, you call me that or you refer to me as that. I really don't like that. Mm-hmm. That brings back because, you know, when I was a kid, people used to say that to me. And I really would appreciate if you don't ever say that again. Mm-hmm. Okay. Talk honestly about it. The second thing you can do, you can go underground. Mm-hmm. Going underground is what I call become passive aggressive. You're mad about it, but you don't address it. So you just go underground. You act like everything's fine, but it's not fine. But all of a sudden, things you used to do, you're not doing anymore. Places you used to go, you ain't going no more. Kind of like the old folks used to say when you got saved. But when you go underground with your spouse, you know, I'm not going to ask to raise your hand because I know what happens. I know, you know, the day of marriage enrichment, y'all plan on going to marriage enrichment, but now you mad at your spouse, so I ain't going nowhere with you. Okay? So, and the very thing that they should do, The devil fights against him to do.
Yeah.
I was going to the marriage conference, but I ain't going.
I ain't going.
I ain't going to church with you.
Nope.
And all those are things that you're undoing your own marriage, trying to get it, using it to your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, trying to direct at your spouse, but you really...
Rather than talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you go underground. It's what I call become passive aggressive. You don't say anything, but you're not doing anything. You're not saying anything, but you're being unkind. Third thing, you can reject your spouse, okay? And we can make it broader. You can reject that person. Now, and, you know, I said this one time. I didn't have words for it at the time. But, you know, several years back. Everybody say years ago.
Years ago.
Okay? Pastor Marcia wasn't gone, but she left me. Yeah. She wasn't gone, but she left me.
Where did I go?
Because, now listen to this. The scripture says, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Those are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because leaving is physical.
Right.
Forsaking is emotional.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. And some people, they ain't left you.
Yeah, I kind of checked out.
But they forsaken you.
Yeah.
Okay, and so God says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And sometimes people can still physically be there, but you've checked out
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason. All right, and so you can be upset, and so you just kind of reject your. And brothers, let me tell you how this looks with the woman. Now you get an independent spirit. Independent spirit means I don't need you. I'm not asking you for anything. Where you going? Out.
Oh, I never did that.
No, I didn't say you didn't do that.
Okay, because it sounded like you.
No, I'm
like,
this ain't about
like,
you.
It feels like this whole session is trying to be about me.
No, seriously.
I'm protesting.
No, this isn't about you. But I'm just saying what this can look like. And so when brother to the wife becomes independent, I don't need you. She ain't asking you for anything. I got me. Is that kind of thing. And really what they're doing, they're going into protection mode. Because they're seeing or they're feeling like, okay, you're not going to be there, so I need to be prepared to handle me
just
without you. That's what's really going on there, okay? And when you reject your spouse, you basically turn away your heart. The fourth thing, all these are becoming more aggressive as we go here, is that you can try to get revenge. Oh, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. Mm-hmm. You wait. So now you got to sleep with one eye open. Because, you know, your spouse is mad at you, and they're going to get you. And you all know, what's that Tyler Perry show that you can watch in 6 months and they're still in the same room? Haves and have nots. haves and have not. And the haves and have not, they got a scene going on right now that... And I hate to say it, but this woman had it coming. She was just so mean and she was nasty and she was doing all kinds of things. And her husband, they're going through a divorce. He slapped her. Oh, and she said, "You hit me. You hit me. He hit me." Now, she done all kinds. She done burned his house down. She done blew up his car. And she done cussed him out, but he finally hit her. You know, but it was one of these things. What's that other movie? Remember the other movie? She was being so disrespectful. What was that? She was being so disrespectful to the man that when he finally slapped her, everybody in the movie theater clapped. That was a Tyler Perry movie too. You know, they set it up like this. But anyway, and she says, "Oh, I'm gonna get you." And he knows it too. He letting everybody know. He feeling bad. I hit her. She's going to do something. He knows she's going to get revenge. And that's you try to get back at the person. And revenge also starts looking like domination. One person tries to dominate over the other person through fear and threats and try to control them. And then the ultimate one that we should do as Christians when we have any type of conflict in relationship, and especially with your spouse, who you are planning on being with for the rest of your life, is to operate in redemptive love. Everybody say redemptive love. Find a scripture where it says that the unsaved is sanctified by the Now, well, through your chase conversation that you can win them. That's redemptive love scripture. Redemptive love is that you love your spouse. Somebody put it this way. You love the hell out of them. Okay. You love your spouse. You demonstrate love to redeem them or bring them back into fellowship. Okay. And can I tell you something? Whenever you see the word redeem or talk about redemption, it always involves a price.
Yes.
Okay. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You have been redeemed, not with, and you've been purchased and redeemed, not with corruptible things, but with the incorruptible blood of Jesus. So the price of our redemption from sin was what? Jesus' life and Jesus' blood. Am I right? Redemption always costs you something. To redeem in a relationship, it may cost you your pride. Okay? That's probably the biggest thing going to cost you, because you're feeling like this person deserves this, and how can I act loving towards them the way they acted towards me? But redemption always costs something. Read that scripture.
Likewise, you wise.
What is it?
1 Peter 3:1-2. You know, kind of you see this. Likewise, you wise, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wise, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear.
So now this conversation here, I taught that over many times about that word conversation as used in the New Testament scriptures here in the King James Version. The word conversation is not talking about a dialogue. That word conversation means your life and your lifestyle, the way you live out your life. So it says, again, and it's specifically talking to wives, but I believe both can do it. That the whole thing called the love there was based upon this principle. Like, you wise, be in suggestion that if any obey not the word, even though this person is not doing the word, you can win them by your lifestyle. Okay, I heard Jimmy Evans tell a story about. He says this. Those of you who don't know, Jimmy and Karen.
Yeah.
Jimmy and Karen, Aaron. They have, you know, a ministry that's really focused on marriages. But he was telling a story on one of the podcasts recently that this woman comes to him. And she says, "Pastor, my husband has a girlfriend. He comes home every night. Mm-hmm. He changes clothes, and he goes and spends the night with his girlfriend, and he comes back early in the morning, showers, changes clothes, and goes to work." He said, "Listen, you don't have to take that, divorce him." She said, "Pastor, I want my marriage, and I want to fight for my marriage." And by the way, y'all, see, what I always tell people, and y'all really need to understand, in no way am I condoning adultery. Adultery is wrong. Adultery is an immediate scriptural way out of a marriage. However, you need to know what God says to you in your situation. We have seen many marriages survive adultery, survive a third party. We've seen it's all a matter of the hearts. It's a matter of turning of the hearts. It's a matter of repentance. It's a matter of forgiveness. Okay, so I've even told people when they've been so hurt, I said, "Yeah, I understand. You have grounds for divorce." And what I told them, I said, "Okay, right now you're hurt and you're angry, which is a bad combination." I said, "You're hurt and you're angry." So what I told them in those situations, I said, "In that situation, what you need to do," I said, "I understand you're separating." I said, "But and in South Carolina, well, and even but I think that's exception even that you can even have a speedy divorce, okay, if it's proven adultery, because you got to be separated at least 12 months or whatever." But I tell them, I say, "Separate and hear, listen to what God is telling you about your marriage." Because even though you have a right to be divorced, doesn't mean that divorce needs to happen in your situation. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Okay. So I told people that. So he told her, she said, "Well, I want my marriage." He said, "Well, I'm telling you what you do." He said, "I want you to treat him the best you have ever treated him. Just love him." So She said a few weeks later, he agrees to come in for counseling, and he comes in looking all dejected, and he says to the pastor, yeah, he says you know about me, don't you? Yeah, you know I had a girlfriend, right? Yeah. He said, well, her treat me nice now. You know, that's just, you know, now I don't know what I'm going to do. And then he said to him, but I don't love her. He told him about the girlfriend. He said, I had a girlfriend, but I don't love her. I love my wife. But she wasn't treating me good. And he went on to say, right there in his office, he led that man to the Lord. And that man became one of the most faithful men to the Lord, one of the best fathers and husbands he had ever pastored for many years until they moved away. That's proof of the scripture, that there can be one through your chaste conversation. But I can tell you, anger, you being angry, don't calm somebody else's anger down. No. You using harsh words does not turn away somebody else's harsh words. This is the redemptive love of God that you need the love of God to do. There's nothing in your flesh that wants to do this. Okay? Jesus says, love your enemies, pray for them that despitefully use you. Avenge not yourself, but give way to the wrath of God. In other words, let God handle situations. And there's nothing in our flesh that want to do that. The only way you can do that, you have to submit to the love of God. But I can tell you this, if you are a Christian, the love of God is in you. Yeah. You can do it, but you have to push past your own mind and push past your feelings and be led by the Spirit of God, meaning obey those dictates of your born again spirit rather than your hurt mind and your vengeful mind.
You know, your mind will tell you that you're not being a good friend to yourself if you operate in the love of God. Because your mind would tell you tit for tat. Your mind would tell you to get even. Your mind would tell you, to get that revenge. But the love of God, which is strengthened by praying in the Holy Ghost and watered by the Word of God and watered with fellowshipping with God, that he can allow that fruit of the Spirit to grow on the inside of you, because you can't do this naturally. And sometimes we focus, let me grow in the love of God. Let me grow in the love of God. You can't grow the love of God fruit on your own. And I think as Christians, we get that kind of twist. We feel like if I act this way, then I'm operating in, I have the love of God. But you're just acting that way, but in your heart, you are totally different. And so through your relationship with the Lord, through fellowshipping with God and being honest, that God, I got a love deficiency. And you say, well, and we don't like to say that because we Christians. But if you're spiteful, if you're nasty, if you hold on to things, if you're vengeful, if you're manipulative, if you have anger issues, you have a love deficiency. That's it right there. And so you go to God and say, okay, God, this is what I have going on in my heart. I can't do this on my own. As I come in contact with your love, it will grow in me. And I can't give what I have. But you can't give what you don't have. And so many of us are void of that. It's just like in a relationship, as you love your spouse and you give him or her, or even your children, what you desire to reap, they'll give it to you. And so as you grow in the love of God, you're able to truly give that and able to operate in a way that's very wise in your marriage.
Yeah, these are spiritual principles. It's not natural principles. Now you're not going to go to natural people and they're going to tell you this. Okay. We always quote, and we quote it during offerings. And when we're talking about, raising money and giving to the Lord, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom, for the same measure that you meet, it'll be measured unto you again. But that scripture doesn't just apply to money. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And there are times in a relationship, in your family, you got to sow love because you're believing to reap love. Now, see, a mature person who really believes the word of God will give before you receive. That's why it's more blessed to give than to receive, because giving is what starts this whole thing operating. Somebody got to be the mature person and says, I'm going to give. Okay. It's almost, I mean, can you imagine, if you were raised by a mother you feel didn't give you love, you raise your kids. See, well, nobody, my mother didn't give me love, so I ain't going to give my children love. Somebody got to start this thing. Somebody got to reverse this thing. And it's the same thing in relationships, in your family. So I always say this all the time. I'm going to keep repeating it. Somebody got to be the mature one. And someone has to decide, I'm going to do the word regardless of what the other person is doing. And then you put God in remembrance of his word. God, you said if I give, it's going to be given unto me. So I'm going to give love even though it looks like I'm not receiving love. I'm going to give kindness even though it looks like I'm not receiving kindness. Okay. I'm going to give respect, even though it looks like I'm not getting respect. And I would love to tell you it will happen tomorrow. You just make a decision tonight to give honor and respect and whatever. Tomorrow you're going to see the harvest. I can't promise that's how it's going to work. But I know if you change your heart and commit to working in the presence of God, God's word got to work for in your life. Amen. You know, I said something earlier. I said hurt and what I said, I said anger and hurt. Mm-hmm. Is a dangerous combination. Okay. Look at Job, the second chapter. And this is something else I heard somebody else point out, because we've always talked about this scripture, and I've used to preach about Mrs. Job. Okay. Somebody said, well, that wasn't the last name. We don't know the last name, so I got to call her Mrs. Job. Okay. Just like I call Potiphar's wife as Mrs. Potiphar, right? So got Mrs. Job here in Job 2nd chapter 7 through 10. It says, So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet or foot until his crown or top of his head. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And the man, he using pottery and stuff, and he got boils and scales, and he trying to, you know, I mean, he looked nasty. Okay. All I had was just my lanta and Maalox around my mouth. Imagine if I was sitting there with boils scraping myself.
Mm. Oh, okay? You did have poison oak one time.
I did.
Okay. That was pretty interesting.
I called myself, I want to work around the house that day. And I'm a city boy, I don't know nothing. And then later, my kids who went to school in South Carolina said, Dad, how many leaves did it have? I said, I don't know. I went out and looked at it. I said, three. They said, Dad, leaves of three do not agree. See, I didn't grow up hearing that. My kids had to teach me. So now I see stuff. I count the leaves. One, two, three. I'm going to leave that alone. Anyway, so he's itching. He's scratching. He got boils. And he sat down among the ashes. This is nasty. Verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. I'm sure she asked him first, is the insurance policy paid up? Okay, that somewhere in between verse 8 and verse 9, I'm sure that she asked him that question. Okay. Then his wife said, do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. So he didn't really see his wife as being a foolish woman. He said, this is the wise woman. I married this woman. She's a wise woman. But you're speaking like a foolish woman.
Yeah.
Can you see, when you get angry, you can speak foolish. You can be wise, but when you're angry, when you're hurt, you'll speak foolish and you'll say foolish things.
Our families should get better with each generation. As we progress as a society, so should our families. Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marcia Bailey, along with members of their own family, get candid about their own experiences to help you move your family forward. Order this powerful message today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Moving Your Family Forward. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.